Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. Just over €1 million is being invested in four tourism projects in Donegal. Planning approval has been granted to Uisce Éireann to carry out what has been described as much-needed upgrade works on the wastewater treatment plant in Fonn. Medics are balloting for industrial action in a dispute over pay scales, and technology manufacturer Vertiv is to create 200 jobs in the Northwest over the next 6 months. These stories in full and more coming up, and Mark Galler will be here for a sports update at around 5:45. But first, just over €1 million is being invested in four tourism projects in Donegal: Oakfield Park in Raphoe, Wild Ireland in Burnfoot, Inishowen and Maritime Museum in Greencastle, and the Workhouse in Dunfanaghy. It's part of a wider cross-border funding package announced today under the Shared Island Initiative that will see a total of €2.7 million to enhance visitor experiences along both the Wild Atlantic Way and the Causeway Coastal Route, with projects in Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Derry and Antrim. Donegal Deputy Pat the Coke-Gallagher says today's funding will help us tell our stories in a new and compelling way while supporting jobs and the local community. Junior Minister Charlie McConlogue says it shows how the tourism offering in Donegal is adapting and evolving to meet the changing needs of visitors.
All four are wonderful examples, you know, of how to build a tourism offering, how to offer something different, and how also to showcase what is so great about Donegal, and to give people a reason to visit. So, for example, in this instance, the funding for Wild Ireland will enable them to build an indoor education centre with multimedia features, which will offer an immersive experience to tourists on the Celtic rainforest. In relation to the Inishowen Maritime Museum in Greencastle, it will enable them to fund a new planetarium show, which will feature regional stories as well, and also aurora visuals over local landmarks. And likewise, in terms of Dunfanaghy Workhouse, they're going to develop their exhibitions and interactive panels, while Oakfield Park is going to restore vintage railway carriages to host interactive exhibits. So this is all something that's going to be more attractive to tourists. It's going to build the wonderful product these four tourism attractions has already developed, and I think it's a really good display of how shared island funding and government funding working with Fonn Charity can make a real difference, and importantly as well develop the whole offering across the Causeway Coast, particularly in Donegal and of course Sligo Leitrim too.
And finally, given some of the weather we've had recently, the need for indoor facilities is always being stressed, and these are four prime examples of what can be achieved locally.
Absolutely. It's wonderful that the range of activities in Donegal now, people come because of the outdoors, because of the scenery, but also you need to have the options for days when the weather is not as hospitable. And with these four attractions, it's going to be enhancing that offering further to make sure that people have a really enjoyable and complete holiday experience when they visit Donegal and visit the wider region.
Full details are on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, the Minister for Agriculture says unionists have nothing to fear from the Shared Island Initiative. Speaking to Highland Radio News at the launch of a cross-border pilot project to tackle bovine TB, Minister Martin Hayden stressed the initiative is designed to help people on both sides of the border and foster friendship and cooperation. Some fear the initiative is a vehicle for the Irish government to have more influence on the governance of Northern Ireland. But Minister Hayden says it's not about lofty ideas, it's about work on the ground.
I can understand people's concern about it at a high level, but what I love about the Shared Island Initiative is it's not about at a high level. It's about at a underground level, impacting people's lives, the issues that affect us north and south, and how we can work together to resolve them. The Irish government is showing its commitment to building that enduring relationship by putting its money where its mouth is. Those investments are benefiting people on both sides of the border, and that's really, really important. And I think that's the real strength of the Shared Island Initiative. We're not having big macro discussions at a high level. We're getting stuck into the details. We're rolling up our sleeves. We have very significant, specific interventions here. We're working together on them.
Planning approval has been granted to Uisce Éireann to carry out what have been described as much-needed upgrade works on the wastewater treatment plant in Fonn. The existing plant will be upgraded to convert it into a wastewater pumping station, with the construction of a 6.2 kilometre stretch of wastewater main connecting the proposed new Fawn wastewater treatment plant with the existing Buncrana wastewater network. Local councillor Fionnan Bradley says this is to be welcomed, but he has hit out at Éireann for what he termed its complete lack of engagement in relation to finding a solution for the people of neighbouring Lisfannan and the issue they've been having with their sewage treatment plant.
This new wastewater treatment plant in Fawn should open Fawn up again for new developments in relation to housing. But the issue I have, not to take away from the good news in Fawn itself, is that it's still bad news for the residents in Lisfannan. I've been in constant contact with Éireann and with council officials in relation to those residents in Lisfannan whose homes won't be connected as part of this upgrade works.
In terms of the blue flag in Lisfannan, it was lost a number of years ago. It would appear from what you're saying that that blue flag is not going to be restored anytime soon as a result of all this.
The blue flag was lost in Lisfannan in 2017. My own opinion on it is that that blue flag will not and cannot be regained until such times as the sewage issues in Lisfannan are fixed. You'll know from contact I had with Éireann earlier in the year that they're not even engaged in a process of finding a solution. I don't claim to know what the solution is, but we need to start finding solutions for the people in Lisfannan that they can be connected into this new sewer line that's going to run from Fawn to Buncrana.
Is this a matter of funding? Is this a matter of lack of capacity? Have Éireann indicated to you why it is that they're not taking this as seriously, it would appear, as you believe it should be taken?
Donal, I have to be frank and tell you from my own perspective, it just seems to be a lack of will. They just seem to want to wash their hands of the problem and say that it's up to somebody else to find a solution, but that just isn't the case. And we really do need them to take leadership on this issue and to take ownership, quite literally, of the situation there in Lisfannan from an environmental point of view, an economic point of view and a common sense point of view.
Medics are balloting for industrial action in a dispute over pay scales. National Ambulance Service staff say they deserve recognition, given how much a practitioner's role has changed in the last 15 years. Medics haven't ruled out strike action, but say patient safety is at the forefront of their minds. SIPTU ambulance sector organiser John McCamley says the HSE needs to address the concerns.
The workload of our members has increased around 5 to 10% each year. We deal with a massive amount of emergency calls. And obviously, there are concerns about obviously attracting people within the service, given the long hours that people do, the fact that you can't just clock off when you're finished, so there's a lot of overruns.
The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is welcoming the announcement that technology manufacturer Vertiv is to create 200 jobs in the northwest over the next 6 months. The company has two plants in Donegal, one in Letterkenny, the other in Burnfoot, as well as a base in Campsie in Derry. Next week, they will hold walk-in interviews for people to explore opportunities. Councillor Paul Canning says it's a positive time for those seeking employment in Donegal.
You have the premises in both Burnfoot and in Letterkenny and also just over the border there at Campsie. So it's great to see that these premises expanding, and it's great to see new employment for the young people in the area.
And these jobs coming on stream, we're told within the next 6 months. Very often you get these announcements and they're for 3, 4, 5 years into the future. This is going to be implemented fairly quickly from what Vertiv are saying.
Yeah, it's going to happen in the next 6 months, which is excellent, you know, and they are a company that does what they call the switchgear, you know, so they have the expansion, they have global markets, so the expansion in the global markets and the increase in everything that they're doing, it automatically creates work here at a local base. So it's great to see that all of the workforce is local and all of the money will be coming in from foreign fields. So it's great to see money coming into the area, and that's like, you know, 80 jobs in Donegal, and I think about 120 in Derry. And it will be Donegal. People could be working in the site in Campsie because it's only over the border. So it's great for the Northwest to see this type of employment appearing just at our doorstep. And like, there is plenty of work to be done and is shown at the minute. So it's great. Any young person that is coming out of school, going into the electrical and the plumbing and the building game is all a plus at the moment, because there is work in this county if people want to come back home to do the work.
20,000 people in Donegal started paying into the National Auto Enrollment Pension Scheme during January. These figures were revealed in a parliamentary question to Dublin South Central TD Catherine Arda. The Auto Enrollment Scheme has also seen people across Northern Ireland involved, with 709 people in Derry and 242 from Tyrone enrolled. The system automatically signs up eligible employees who do not already have a qualifying pension, are aged between 23 and 60, and earn more than €20,000 per year. The Dáil has heard that a previous government-backed decision not to fund flood alleviation work in Burnfoot has led to 8 people still out of their council homes since the floods of 2017, probably never to return. During statements on flooding in Leinster House, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin acknowledged that during his first tenure in the position, Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran announced funding for Burnfoot with a scheme to go to planning shortly. However, Deputy McLaughlin said Burnfoot has been dealing with the legacy of previous decisions to build in totally unsuitable areas.
Burnfoot's just a wee village at the south of Inishowen, and Burnfoot always flooded. The houses in question were on a floodplain. Everybody knows that there were council houses and private houses that should never have been built where they were built. The name of the village means in Irish the foot of the river, you know, for God's sake. What had happened was the OPW before your time and the minister didn't agree to fund it. They said it wouldn't have been economically viable, and that was a mistake. You granted funding to it and you rectified that. But the problem is, and 8 families had to leave their home in council houses. A lot of them lost that connection, never could go back. What happened, somebody said recently, when the floods come in, the whole media and everybody focuses on it, but the waters recede and so does the media attention and the focus. I just think now you're back in the role, and you're travelling the country. We really need to demand more of our local authorities, of the systems, including OPW, but how we can drive it on as much as we can, how we can work together if there's other agencies, how we can not leave people just years and years and years in despair.
The government is being urged to expedite reform of the planning regulations to stop objections from people who have no material interest in the application being made. A2 are putting a new planning bill forward to reform the system and reduce the number of judicial reviews being sought. Mayo TD Paul Lawless told Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran that objections can be made from the other end of the country to a planning application in Donegal, and that needs to change. He also stressed the need for more staff at An Cumhuisin Pleanála.
I'd urge you, Minister, to really prioritise the planning process, to adequately staff An Cumhuisin Pleanála, and to reform the planning process to ensure that where there are bogus objectors, that they are not allowed to submit. So we have a bill at the moment, Minister, and I would urge you to prioritise it and support it, whereby only those with a material interest in a planning application can make an objection. So at the moment, it is the case where if a farmer in Donegal is applying for planning permission for a slurry tank, you may have an objection from Cork or Wicklow or Wexford that has no interest. And this is actually causing major delays in the system. And I would ask you, Minister, to really ensure that can no longer and should not be tolerated at the moment. It is also important to say that many of these planning applications are hundreds and thousands of pages long. And I believe that we should be streamlining that, because in such a long application, in an application that spans thousands of words, thousands of pages and documents, it is leaving us ripe for judicial reviews. And that is another major aspect that is holding progress back.
It is 17 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio. All the sport with Mark after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 14 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. It's a big night at Finn Park as Finn Harps play their first home game of the new SSE Air Tristy League season. Following a narrowing opening day defeat away to Athlone last week, William O'Connor's UCD are the visitors to Ballybuffet this evening. Former Harps manager Anthony Gorman says the Inishowen Man's teams are always up for a battle and will be hard to beat.
It won't be easy at all, you know, and traditionally UCD will always be at the top end of the first division by their own standards last year. While they finished the season well, they were a wee bit inconsistent throughout the season. So UCD will be looking to add more consistency to their season coming forward. And I think, you know, it's a game that Flint Harps will certainly think that they can get something from, but You know, with Willie O'Connor at the helm again, he's one of them ones. Like, he's, you know, he worked with Ollie in the past, and you know, it'd be very well organised. The teams will be very well drilled, and they will be competitive, and they'll be very fit. So make no bones about it. Friday night's going to be a really difficult game and a really big test for Finn Harps.
We'll have live updates from the game with Jeremy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff. Elsewhere, Wexford host Cork City. Athlone Town travel to take on Kerry, and Treaty United are at home to Bray Wanderers. In the Premier Division tonight, Derry City have their third home game in as many weeks as they host Bohemians. Like Derry, Bows are also sitting on 4 points after two games played. In other top flight games, champions Shamrock Rovers face St Pat's and Talla. Top of the table, Drogheda are away to Louth neighbours Dundalk. Shelburne welcome Galway United to the capital, and Sligo Rovers are down in the RSC to play Waterford. In the Irish League Premiership this evening, second place Coleraine face Ballymena United, while league leaders Larne are at home to Carrick Rangers. Well, Finn Harps women's team will face Shelburne in the FAI Women's Under-23 National Development League opener on Sunday at Finn Park. It's a historic day for the Ballybuffet club, who will compete in the new league alongside other new clubs at this level and under-23 teams from bigger clubs such as Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne. That side will be joined captain by Rafoe's Cody Walsh and Aisling Cull of Glenay, and is managed by Desi McGlinchey. Moving on to rugby, Ireland captain Caelan Doris says they're aiming to hunt England down in their Six Nations clash tomorrow. Andy Farrell's side have won four of the last five encounters between the two, but their most recent trip to Twickenham ended in a last-minute defeat, courtesy of a Marcus Smith drop goal in 2024. Doris admits that games against England take on extra meaning.
I think so. Like, I mean, as a young fella watching the Six Nations, it was always the key game that you get excited for. You look at some of the events like 2009 playing in Crow Park, and some of the moments from that game that become kind of iconic in Irish history. So there probably is that added element of it for sure.
The Ireland Under-20s are in Six Nations action this evening. They take on their English counterparts at the Rec in Bath for a 7:45 start. In golf, Aaron Rye of England is the man to catch at a weather-delayed Genesis Invitational in California. He, along with a number of others, have yet to complete their first rounds. Rory McIlroy did, and tees off later just one shot off the lead on 5 under par after his 66. Shane Lowry has work to do after he finished his round 2 over par. At the Winter Olympics, a historic night lies ahead for Dublin-born Ben Lynch. He's become the very first Irish skier to qualify for a final event at the Winter Olympics. He qualified for the final of the halfpipe, which takes place later on. In horse racing, Patrick McGetting was in the winner's circle in Dundalk this afternoon. The young Balliard jockey rode Battleborn to victory in the 4:10 race for trainer PJ McKenna. That horse went to post at 11-2. In Gaelic games, Donegal travelled to the Boxhead Athletic Grounds in Armagh on Sunday for a clash with Ulster rivals Armagh in Division 1 of the National Football League. Jim McGuinness's side have got off to a flying start in the league and sit top of the pile thanks to wins over Dublin, Kerry and Mayo. Armagh, meanwhile, have struggled to find momentum thus far, as an opening day win over Monaghan was followed by a narrow defeat to Galway and a disappointing outing against Roscommon last weekend. Sunday's game in Armagh will be the first meeting of the two old foes since last year's Ulster final in Clonus, which Donegal won after extra time. McGuinness says Armagh, much like Donegal, will be aiming to win their home games.
You're not going to get anything easy up there, that's for sure. And I don't know how many games we've played now in the last number of years, but there's always been a point or a draw, you know. So that's what we'll be planning for during the week, I'm sure. That's what we'll be expecting. And hopefully we can bring a good level, you know. You have to win your home games, that's the reality. Like, you know, we only have three this year. So you need to be targeting those home games, and that's what we've tried to do. And now we've got the 6 points on the board. So Armagh, they'll be looking to do the same.
We'll have full live match coverage from this Sunday's clash between Donegal and Armagh with Oisin Kelly and Brennan Kilcoyne from Throwin at 3:45. Tyrone will aim for their second win in Division 2 with a trip to RD this coming Sunday. Malachy O'Rourke has made one change from the team that started against Cavan last time out. Joey Clark is replaced in defence by Aidan Clark for the game against Louth. And also in Division 2, Derry play Offaly tomorrow evening from 6. In other feature games this weekend, the Donegal Hurlers play Armagh at 2 o'clock tomorrow in Letterkenny. Chris Ashmore will have updates from that game for us. And the Donegal Ladies play Cavan at 2 o'clock in Ballyshannon on Sunday. Maureen O'Donnell will be there for Highland Radio Sport. And finally, professional boxing will be in Ballybuffet and Stranorda for the first time, as Fight Night in the Valley will be staged at the Finn Valley Centre tomorrow night. The sold out show will have 5 pro fights plus 2 exhibition bouts, and the much anticipated weigh-ins will take place this evening at the Finn Valley Centre. That's all your sport for now, but don't forget to tune in for live updates from the Finn Harps game from 7:45. Back to you, Ryan.
Thanks, Mark. Protesters marched on the Sport Ireland campus this afternoon and arrived at the doors of the FAI to demand a boycott of the Nations League games against Israel. Ireland has been drawn by UEFA to play Israel in September and October. The FAI says it will fulfil the fixtures. Aisling Maloney reports.
Show genocide! Show genocide!
Protesters from the Dublin 15 with Palestine group say Nations League matches against Israel should not go ahead. They marched through the Sport Ireland campus in Blanchardstown and entered the doors of the FAI headquarters to deliver a letter outlining their demands. Member of the group, Brandon Byrne, says Israel's actions cannot be normalised through sport.
We have to play against the national team of a country that is actively committing a genocide, that is destroying the Palestinian people, but also the sport of football in Palestine. And then to make that normalised by having to play them in these fixtures. So it is, it's disgraceful.
People Before Profit TD Ruth Coppinger addressed the protest.
We're here in response to the FAI's decision to proceed with business as usual while Israeli carries out genocide against the Palestinian people.
Inside the doors, Irish-Palestinian Zach Hania delivered the letter along with a list of names of Palestinian athletes killed in the war.
Like, if we play with Israel, we are saying to the world, it's okay, commit genocide, kill as much people as you can, and we are cuddling you at the end.
The FAI said the games will be played. Aisling Maloney, Sport Ireland Campus, Dublin.
And the weather, there will be bright spells and scattered showers this evening. Cloud will increase from the southwest later. It will be breezy with moderate to fresh and gusty southwesterly winds. It will be cloudy tonight with outbreaks of rain and drizzle gradually spreading from the southwest. The rain will clear towards morning with a few patches of mist and drizzle developing. Mild with lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees and mostly moderate southwesterly winds. Tomorrow will be cloudy and rather wet with further outbreaks of rain spreading from the southwest in the morning, turning heavy at times. It will be mild and breezy with highest temperatures of 10 or 11 degrees and moderate to fresh southwesterly winds. A look back at today's main stories. Just over €1 million is being invested in four tourism projects in Donegal, Oakfield Park in Raphoe, Wild Ireland in Burnfoot, Inishowen Maritime Museum in Greencastle and the Workhouse Dunfanaghy. It's part of a wider cross-border funding package announced today under the Shared Island Initiative that will see a total of €2.7 million to enhance visitor experiences along both the Wild Atlantic Way and the Causeway Coastal Route, with projects in Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Derry and Antrim. Planning approval has been granted to Ishka Éireann to carry out what have been described as much-needed upgrade works on the wastewater treatment plant in Fawn. The existing plant will be upgraded to convert it into a wastewater pumping station, with the construction of a 6.2-kilometre stretch of wastewater main connecting to the proposed new Fawn wastewater treatment plant with the existing Buncrana wastewater network. Local councillor Fionnan Bradley says this is to be welcomed, but he has hit out at Ishka Éireann for what he termed its complete lack of engagement in relation to finding a solution for the people of neighbouring Lisfannan and the issues they have been having with their sewage treatment plant. Medics are balloting for industrial action in a dispute over pay scales. National Ambulance Service staff say they deserve recognition given how much practitioners' roles have changed in the last 15 years. Medics haven't ruled out strike action but say patient safety is at the forefront of their minds. SIP2 ambulance sector organiser John McCamley says the HSE needs to address their concerns. And the Cathaoirleach at Donegal County Council is welcoming the announcement that technology manufacturer Vertiv is to create 200 jobs in the northwest over the next 6 months. The company has two plants in Donegal, one in Letterkenny, the other in Burnfoot, as well as a base at Campsie in Derry. Next week they will hold walk-in interviews for people to explore opportunities. Councillor Paul Canning says it's a positive time for those seeking employment in Donegal. That's all from the newsroom for now. Our next bulletin will be at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Friday evening, February the 20th. The death has occurred of Brian Richard Slater, 41 Lawndale, Navanie, Ballybuffet. Remains reposing at McCool's Funeral Home, Ballybuffet, today from 6pm to 9pm and tomorrow from 5pm to 9pm, concluding with Rosary both nights at 9pm. Funeral leaving there on Sunday at 10:30am, Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sesh O'Neill at 11am. Interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of James Phillips, 24 Bushfield Park, and formerly of New Buildings. reposing at Quigley's funeral home tomorrow from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Funeral leaving the funeral home on Sunday at 11:25 a.m. for funeral mass in St Mary's Church Clock Car at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Patsy Gallagher, 271 Skeogh Cottages, Bridge End. Patsy's remains will repose at his late residence from 12 noon tomorrow. Removal from there on Monday morning at 10:15 a.m. to St Angus Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Dr. James Brogan, 3 St Helens, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, formerly of Inniskillen. No wake, house private to family only, please. Viewing will take place at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m, followed by removal to Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, for 7:30 p.m. to repose overnight. Funeral Mass will take place on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. at Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy. Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Private cremation afterwards. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Hematology Day Unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Father John McLaughlin, SSC, Chile, Dublin Diocese, and Maville, reposing at St Columban, Summerhill, Maville. Funeral from there tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. for 12 p.m. Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Maville, followed by interment in Ballybrack Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mavilleparish.com. The death has taken place of William Wallace, 11 Bridge Street, Strabane, and formerly of Craigan Derry, reposing at his daughter Natalie Wallace's home, 4 McGurr Park, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow at 9:15 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.